take your Bibles this evening, and if you will, turn to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And the lesson tonight is this, rebuking the financial devourer, part 2. If you remember the last time we met, we did part number 1, and tonight we're going to finish it off. Malachi chapter 3. I want you to find verse number 7, and why don't you go ahead and stand with me real quickly. Malachi chapter 3, starting with verse number 7, and I'm going to read this to us, but you can follow along. Malachi 3, 7, and I think we'll read all the way through verse 12. The Bible says this, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray together. Father, bless us tonight. Bless as we learn and as we study. Help me to teach the Bible the right way. Holy Spirit of God, we need you to be involved. Now, Father, we don't want to just fill our heads tonight with knowledge, but we want to fill our lives with truth. Help us to live the truth. Oh, we want to learn it, but help us to live it. May it change our lives and then maybe the lives of others, generations to come. The financial principles that we learn can be passed down and enrich the lives of the people that we love. Bless us tonight with thy Holy Spirit's presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can have a seat. Again, the title is Rebuking the Financial Devourer. I want to read to you again Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, and it says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Here, God is telling us about this devourer. Say, who is that? Well, maybe it's the devil. Maybe it is you and I, as we don't do what we're supposed to do. You know, sometimes our problems are self-inflicted. I think that God has the potential of withholding blessings from us. And so I can't tell you exactly who is the devourer every time that we face it, but God says there is a time when something of yours will be devoured. It says, if you were listening there, it says, "He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground." And that's talking about loss. If they had a farm, if they had an orchard, we're being told here that something about their business is being lost. It's being destroyed as a result of some misbehavior. It says, "Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the tree in the field." And that's, again, there's loss. There's financial loss. There's loss of increase. There's loss of prosperity. Now, listen to Haggai chapter 1, verse number 6. It says this, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." It's virtually talking about someone that carried their money in a purse or a bag. They put the money in there, but the money vanished. It's almost as if you had a hole in your wallet. Now, that's not what's happening. It's that you earn money, but it's gone. And it is not gone in a way that you know where it went. It's gone. It's almost as if you lost it. And God's warning us here about how we handle our finances. And God is telling us there are reasons why we suffer loss financially. And some of them are very, what I would call very common. And then there are some that are very much so attached to scriptural misbehaviors. God predicting the loss of funds because of the way we act or the way that we live. Now, as we know, our last lesson was rebuking the financial devourer, part one. Tonight we're going to do part two. I'm going to very quickly allude, just in one sentence at a time, to what was taught in the first part. The first part of this lesson, we said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not being immoral. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not spending too much time in bed. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not getting your money from wicked ways. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by being diligent about what you do. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not co-signing a note for someone that you don't really know. Then we said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not being stingy with your money and belongings. We said that you can rebuke the financial devourer by not making our families unnecessarily angry with us. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by getting your money through the efforts of work and just sweat and toil. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by listening to correction when it is given to you. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not talking too much. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by caring for poor people. We said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not loving pleasure and overly enjoying the pleasures of life. We said then you can rebuke the financial devourer by not getting involved with liquor. Now, that is what we taught at the first lesson. Now, I'm going to get started with the new material. We'll start with number one. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not giving to the rich to impress or try to win their favor. Let me say it again. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not giving to the rich to impress them or to try to win their favor. Now, as you know, every point that I've taught, I backed it up with Scripture, obviously. We're teaching the Word of God. Listen to Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 16. It says this, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want." So those that give to others, hoping for favors as a result of it, God said that's not going to pay off spiritually. Did you hear that it said they shall come to want? What's it talk about? Well, it's talking about riches in that verse. So, listen, rich people do favors for rich people, rubbing elbows with the elite to impress one another. And God said, that doesn't impress me. That doesn't impress me. And that will cause us to, quote, come to want. Do you all realize there are some people that would not join a church like ours? Say why? We're common folk. We have bus kids. We have, did you know that people that are mentally challenged are more than welcome to come to our church? Yeah. I happen to believe the ground is level at the foot of the cross, and how much money you bring to this church will have no bearing on anything. Your money does not buy you a place at this church. But see, did you know that a rich man thinks he is benevolent because he ships fine liquor to his rich associates? He thinks he's giving. God said, I'm sorry. I don't bless that kind of giving. So, listen to the verse. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. And God is teaching us that when we give to the rich to impress them or to buy favors from them or to try to win them or to try to become elitist like them, God said, I don't bless that financially. Let me go on. Number two, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not overeating or being gluttonous. Number two, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not overeating or being a glutton or being gluttonous. Now let me read the verse. Proverbs 23:21 says this, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." Probably nobody's going to say amen, so I'll get through this point as quickly as I can. Wake up. I know your belly's full and it's hard to pay attention, but listen to me. Now, I said you can rebuke the financial devourer by not overeating or being a glutton. This is true because of our health. There is a right amount of food that your body needs to take in to be healthy, and if we don't eat enough of it, or if we eat too much of it, it's not healthy, and it will cost you. It's true because, okay, listen. I can remember when my suit size was a couple numbers down. I hate clothes shopping. For two reasons. I just hate it because I hate it. But number two, I hate to spend the money. That's motivation enough to make me want to lose weight because I don't want to spend the money to buy the clothes. But if we don't eat right, it will cost us. And the Bible says, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty." So I think it's true because of our health. I think it's true because of the changing of our clothes size. I think it's true because of the amount of money that we spend on food. I mean, that's an obvious part of it. You go to the grocery store, and if you are given to a big appetite, then you'll spend more money. I think we eat out because our stomach tells us to, not because our wallet or our mind tells us to. I watch people go to restaurants and they over order. Y'all, my mom, she had a lot of neat things she said. She said, "Boy, your eyes are bigger than your stomach." Yeah. Not anymore, but. We don't, and this is such a simple thing, but may I say to you, we don't clean our plates. America wastes food outrageously. And really, I think God thinks it's terrible. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:11, Paul said he buffeted his body daily. I know people say that's buffeted, you know, going to the buffet my body. Overeating, then, the Bible says, causes drowsiness. And then it actually says that it shall clothe a man in rags. So, I believe the Bible's teaching there is money to be saved and there is financial sense having to do with food. There's a right and a wrong way to do it. Okay, let's move on. Number three, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not charging unjust interest on loans. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not charging unjust interest on loans. Listen to Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 8. It says this, "He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor." And what the Bible's saying here, the Bible teaches you will, if you charge outrageous interest, and you hurt people with that, you take advantage of people, God said, you're going to gather some money, but you're going to end up losing that money. The word usury there, that is interest. When it talks about unjust, it means ridiculous. I happen to believe that God's not pleased with the way certain companies, credit cards and things, charge people interest. Let's face it, very simple-minded people walk into contractual agreements where they have to borrow money and pay it back at 22 and 23 and 25% interest. And I think God looks at that now. I think if you borrowed it, you need to pay it back and you signed the contract and said that you would. But I think there are companies that take advantage of people. I don't think God blesses that. I don't think God wants us to be unjust, unreasonable, or to pay ridiculous interest rates. And God, the big warning here is from your pastor, I'm telling you, don't go out there and borrow a bunch of money and pay outrageous interest rates. But may I say what's very important for you to learn is don't hurt people like that. Don't you be the one that charges the outrageous interest. Why? God just says if you do that, you're going to lose. That's it. There's an injustice in it. You say, says who? God. So that means it's an injustice. So I don't think we ought to take advantage of people when they're down. Now, let me tell you this. Paying interest is not a sin. Paying interest is like renting money. But it ought to be done fairly and justly. So, I said, thirdly, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not charging unjust interest on loans. Number four, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not associating yourself with people who are worthless and empty of drive. I'll say it again. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not associating yourself with people that are worthless or empty of drive. When we talk about worthless, I'm not talking about the value of their soul. I'm talking about the caliper of their character. Listen to Proverbs 28, verse number 19. The Bible says this, "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough." Notice the comparison there. Somebody was working their farm and God was blessing it, and then it went to the opposite end of the spectrum, and it uses the word vain. And so it's saying that there was someone that was a hard worker, and then there's somebody that's not a hard worker. And if you spend your time associating with people that really don't care about working hard, it says you'll have poverty enough. So the word vain there means worthless in character, empty of drive, empty of desire for success. I'm talking about the kind of people that don't want jobs. And God is virtually saying, I think God tells us to be kind to everyone, but you should not be spending all your time with a bunch of lazy rascals that don't want to work, that don't want to pay their bills. And look, I know that everybody can't work the same way and work the same amount, but everybody can work. Everybody can work. Ladies, I'd recommend that you don't marry a bum. And men, I would recommend that you don't marry a bum-ess, bum-ess, bum... a bum woman, whatever you call them. If I were you, I would pick friends that have some initiative about them. But if nothing else, just listen to the verse. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Now there's the reward for work. Now the opposite part of the verse. But he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. So he's saying that if you spend your time associating with people that they're empty of drive and empty of character, that you will personally suffer some loss or some poverty. Let's go on. Number five, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not trying to quickly get lots of money and become rich overnight. Now, hear me out on this. Listen to Proverbs 28:22. It says, "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." What the Bible is talking about here, when it talks about evil, evil is when somebody's out to hurt others. It's virtually a conspiracy to hurt. So what God is saying here, you are going to suffer poverty if you're out to get rich quick at the expense of other people. Get rich quick schemes that help you but hurt everybody else. That's some of the deceitful merchandising and some of the get-rich-quick schemes. And they go around, and they happen all the time, selling faulty services or making big promises and getting people to invest. And I wonder how many times you see a wave of things come through where they're trying to talk everybody into investing in this, that, and the other so we can all get rich. And one person gets rich, the one that gathered all the money from all the simple-minded people that lost money trying to get rich quick. And God says that when we are being evil in that way, He's not going to bless us financially. So, listen, you say,
I've got a financial opportunity, and it just seems too good to be true.
All right, then it probably is not true, so I'd be very careful. Just be careful. Let me go on. Number six, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not being guilty of repeated transgressions of God's Word. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not being guilty of repeated transgressions of God's Word. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says this, "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked." Notice, he casts away their substance, and that's loss, that's the devourer, that's money, that's increase, that's blessing being retracted. Twice in that passage, he speaks of his financial protection for those who live righteously and biblically. I'll tell you something I believe. I believe if you don't live right, and you know to live right, it'll cost you money. And for some of you, that ought to make you want to live right. You say, what a coincidence, I'm as backslidden as I can be, and my finances are all messed up. That's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence at all. You say, what makes you think that? God's in charge of everything. God's in charge of everything. It says that the wicked will lose repeatedly. I think repeatedly living for God will bring a certain amount of blessing, but repeatedly transgressing God's word or law will cause us loss. Let me ask you this. How many times must God correct you for the same sinful thing? If he's got to keep correcting you, you keep going back to that same thing, don't be shocked if you suffer loss. He says he casteth away the substance of the wicked. So if you and I as Christians live wickedly, we're going to lose. We're going to lose because of it. Let's go on. Number seven. You can rebuke the financial devourer by developing proper sleep habits. By developing proper sleep habits. Now, I realize in lesson number one, we talked about sleeping too much. Now, I'm really talking about something a little different. Listen to Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 21. It says, "And drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags." I want to recommend something to you, and you may not listen to it, but I do highly recommend it. Schedule your sleep. Don't let your body tell you what to do. Tell your body what to do. Developing proper sleep habits will help you financially. I'm just totally convinced of that. You say, why? Well, if you'll have the right sleep habits, you'll get up in the morning and go to work on time. That could be profitable. If you get the right kind of sleep habits, then you're less apt to fall asleep at the wheel and wreck your car if you get the proper sleep habits. Proper sleep habits will keep you from being up all night on the internet or watching the television and then not having the energy to succeed at work the next day. Let's face it, you get backslidden Christians or lost people, people that party all night and then try to be productive the next day at work, cheat their boss. They scrap the parts. They destroy the equipment because they're not rested. By the way, that very verse it's connected to gluttony. It's talking about you don't sleep right and you eat wrong and you're drowsy because of it. I'll just promise you something. If you will learn how to sleep right, it will prosper you financially. Here's what I would recommend. And again, you don't have to listen to me. I'm going to teach you the Bible. But I think every individual in here, when you're healthy, there's an amount of sleep that you need to function at 100%. Figure out what it is. Get that amount of sleep. No more, no less. I know how much sleep I need to function. Now, the amount that I need is different than the amount you need. So don't think preacher's being mean or unfair. If you need 7 hours of sleep, get it. But don't get 8. Get yourself up and go to work. It takes 5 hours for me. I know what it takes. I need 5 hours of sleep. You ask Mrs. Owens. If I go to bed early, I'm getting up early. At 5 hours, I'm ready to roll. And I'm at peak performance. And now, I don't know how much you need. And I think sometimes when somebody's not well, they need more. But if you know, people say, well, there's no opportunity out there. Well, there is opportunity out there. You might have to, have you ever heard that verse from Owens chapter 2, verse 1, the early bird gets the worm? There's some of you, I've worked for 6 hours before most people get up in the morning. I used to have people say, how do you get so much done? Well, one thing is, I get up and do it early in the morning when nobody's bothering me. But proper sleep habits, I promise you, proper sleep habits will increase you financially. And improper sleep habits will hurt you financially. Let's go on. Number 8, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not being a know-it-all. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not being a know-it-all. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 11 says this. The rich man is wise in his own conceit. God is telling us, listen, I think when you and I cease to be learners, that costs us something. I think we should continue to learn and continue to grow. We've got a handful of men that drive big trucks, rigs, 18-wheelers in here. I'll never forget. My dad used to train men to drive 18-wheelers. And he'd get so frustrated. He would come home and he'd say, well, had a guy that I was training today. Problem was, he already knew how to do it. Couldn't hardly teach him a thing. But when a young man would come in that didn't know how, and he would let dad teach him, dad said, we don't have as many wrecked trucks by the guys that don't know how because they let us instruct them. But the guy that knew it all, that wouldn't listen to anything, that wouldn't be instructed, they were running over everything, they were hurting the trucks, et cetera, et cetera. So he used to get frustrated, and it's an attitude. It's an attitude. And I think that God's saying you can keep yourself from losing if you'll keep a learning attitude. There are people that won't seek advice. I don't want to offend you, but there's sometimes I watch people make decisions, I'm thinking, what are they thinking? That's stupid. But they didn't ask. But they do some of the dumbest things. I don't know if it's connected to pride or what, but God said the rich man is wise in his own conceit. There are people that can't be corrected. There are people that there's somebody that thinks, oh, I don't need these lessons on finances. You might be shocked that you could learn. You say, I already have plenty of money. Well, if you learned all of these things, maybe you'd have more. Amen. So, we can rebuke the financial devourer by just not thinking we already know it all. Let's go on. Number 9. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not taking financial advantage of your parents. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not taking financial advantage of your parents. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 24. It says this, whoso robbeth his father or his mother, the last part of the verse says, is the companion of a destroyer. I said this, I think, last week. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it again later. I think we ought to pay our parents back if we borrow money from them. I thank God for parents that help. Thank God for parents that do help. But did you know that the word borrow is not a permanent term? If you mean give, then say, Dad, give me, I'm not going to pay you back. Dad, give me money. Don't cloak it in a lie. Don't say, Dad, lend me when you don't plan to pay it back. Mom, lend me. No, if you're going to borrow it, then you're to pay it back. If you want a gift, then ask. Dad, give me a gift of $1,000. I'm not paying you back. Tell the truth. But God says, whoso robbeth his father or his mother. What are they doing? Somebody is stealing from their parents. And let me put this in here. Young people, look right up this way. You shouldn't get in your mother's purse and take money that doesn't belong to you. You shouldn't get into your father's wallet and take money that doesn't belong to you. If mom and dad have some money tucked away somewhere and you know that it's tucked away, you need to keep your hands off of your parents' money. You say, why? You will destroy yourself financially by taking advantage of your mother and father financially. I would also like to say this. Young people, don't waste what God has given you in your home that He is providing through your mom and dad. You say, like what? Food. Electricity. Water. I'm sure you've heard this before. Your mother may say, you weren't born in a barn, boy. What she's saying is, you're not an animal, shut the door. Did you know the water's not free? Did you know the food's not free? Did you know the clothes that you destroyed? They're not free. Somebody has to pay for it. I happen to believe that young people who respect what their parents provide for them, God will bless them financially because of that. Listen to this. If you are not doing your best at school, you are wasting your parents' money. If you go to a Christian school, mom and dad paid taxes and then turned around and paid for you to have a good education, they paid more money. They paid money for that education. If you go to a public school, your parents are being taxed for your education. If you're being homeschooled, your parents paid for your homeschool materials and paid taxes. And if you're not studying, and if you're not passing your classes, and if you're not doing what you ought to do, you are wasting your parents' money. God will not bless you financially for wasting your parents' money. You see, God is saying, whoso robbeth his father or his mother. Listen, I think God, when God says, honor thy father and thy mother, I think he means it. I think he means it. You say, oh, what's the big deal? And God probably figures that since you treat your dad that way, you'll treat your heavenly father that way too. And he's your heavenly father. Let's go on. Number 10. You rebuke the financial devourer by not living a life of greed. By not living a life of greed. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 27 says this, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. And what's this? These are financial principles. God's talking about greedy of gain. He's talking about increase. He's talking about finances. He's talking about that that comes in. Now, I want you to understand, I think there's a lot of principles wrapped up in this one verse. I think he's talking about greedy people trouble their own house. What's that mean? You probably have marital problems somewhere along the line, or you're going to have problems in your household over your greed. Let me tell you, one of the biggest things that married people fuss about is money. Money. I've done thousands of marital counseling sessions, and they are almost always attached to money. Money. Now, but we greed, always interested in taking care of ourselves. And if you're the kind of person where you help you, even if it hurts the other guy, I don't think God blesses that. Don't ever develop the attitude, whatever it takes, I'm going to get ahead. Oh, you should never do whatever it takes to get ahead. There's some scriptural truth and some scriptural guidelines as to how we're to handle our money and treat people. Just, are you a giver or a taker? A giver or a taker? How would someone predominantly see you or describe you, a giver or a taker? But living a life of greed, you will not be blessed financially. You say, well, greedy people do gather a lot of things, but let me tell you something, they lose a lot of things. And did you know there are more important things in life than money? You think greedy people are comfortable in their relationships? Not at all. Their greed makes them miserable with other people and other people miserable with them. Let me give you one more. And we'll conclude the second part of this rebuking the financial devourer lesson. Okay, number 11. You rebuke the financial devourer by not wasting the increase that God gives you. You rebuke the financial devourer by not wasting the increase that God gives you. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 27 says this. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. What this is talking about is a man went out and he shot some game and he just let it rot. He didn't care to cook the food. God provided, but he wasted what was provided. Folks, let's be careful. God said, if I bless you and then you waste what I blessed you with, I'm not obligated to give you more. You've proven that you don't respect what I did for you. Let me warn you, and I believe this happens to people all the time. A bill, a responsibility, a financial responsibility came your way. And you prayed that God would provide. You might have even passed it around as a prayer request. And then God did provide. But you didn't pay the bill. You said, God, give me money to pay the bill. Oh, please, give me money to pay the bill. God finally gave you the money to pay the bill, but you didn't pay the bill. Now, let me tell you. If one of my kids would have came to me and said, Dad, give me $20, I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. Dad, give me $20, I'm going to buy a pair of shoes. Dad, give me $20, I want to buy a pair of shoes. If I pulled out a $20 bill and gave it to them, can I tell you something? I'm expecting to see a new pair of shoes on somebody's feet pretty quick here. And if a couple days later I said, where are the shoes? They said, I bought candy. Is it possible that I might discipline that? There are some of you God has provided, but you blew the money He gave you. Don't waste your increase. And now let's go back to don't waste the water, don't waste the electricity, don't waste the food, don't waste the fuel, don't waste the clothes. And you know, sometimes I don't know that sometimes God provides and we waste it on wicked things. Nasty things, filthy things. But I don't even think that it has to be something nasty. It's just not necessary. You might find this hard to believe. But did you know you don't have to have pop, candy? There are a lot of things that we have that we don't have to have. I know people that say, I can't pay my bills. Well, what could be eliminated that you don't have to have? What are you spending money on that you don't have to have that you could then use to pay your bills? Look, if God takes care of us and He gives us some money to pay a bill, but we're wasting our money, God is under no obligation then to reproduce that blessing. So He said, the slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. In other words, God gave him what he needed to meet the need, but he didn't do what he was supposed to do when God blessed him. That's what's happening here. So, I don't think God's even talking about God gave you a big chunk of money and you spent it all on one big thing that you shouldn't have. You might have spent it in little bits and pieces. There's something that I think would help you. I challenge you. Get you a little log and write down everything you spend money on. Everything. Every cup of coffee that costs $3. Every time you stop at McDonald's, every candy bar, every time you eat out, write it all down. Start you a log. And I'm not trying to be funny. If you want help with your weight, just write down everything you eat. Write it all down. Take a look at it. And then take a good long look. Say, it ain't no wonder we got a problem here. I'm overspending. I'm overeating. This is not always true, but let me tell you something. I do a lot of counseling. I've done a lot of financial counseling through the years. Most of the time, the problem is not that there's not enough money. most of the time is that we don't spend what we have right. Now, not always, but most of the time it's that way. I take someone's budget apart and I say, well, how much is this? How much is this? How much is this? How much is this? And I take how much is coming in and how much is going out. Most of the time I say, you know what? There's enough coming in. You've got to be spending it on something other than what is a necessity. And if we would eliminate a little of this and a little of that, hey, and in America, you don't have to starve to death. Not at all. But the financial devourer comes when we don't live the way God tells us to live. I think there is loss. And what we do, I think we subject ourselves in our disobediences to loss. So you heard, about a dozen principles last week, about a dozen principles this week. And if you were listening, he said this in Malachi 3:11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Let me read Haggai 1:6 and we'll be done. It says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." So there's loss happening. And God gives us a variety of reasons why that loss happens. Most of them are very practical and down to earth.